I'm Dana Lloyd. Welcome to Soul Sister Conversations, the podcast, where you will be inspired and empowered to connect more deeply with your authentic self as we explore topics of personal development, leadership, and spirituality. Your journey to your most authentic self starts right now. Vanessa Paisani started her spiritual journey this year. She says it has been the most significant journey thus far. We chat about why that is, how she got onto her spiritual path, what she has been learning, what it has opened up within her, and where she hopes it takes her. This was such a warm conversation. If you are on a spiritual path, there are takeaways and ideas in here that will help you deepen your journey. Vanessa Paisani, welcome to Soul Sister Conversations.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, you've been on my mind as a podcast guest for a while, and I met you years ago when I was speaking to the 21 Inc. group, yes. And you were a participant. And being connected on social media, of course, I have been witness to some of the things that you've been up to. And so when I looked you up on your Facebook profile, all it said was on a spiritual journey. And I'm like, well, now, isn't she even more of a perfect podcast guest? So I was curious about what that is. So what I thought we were originally going to talk about kind of transformed into something different, but I think it's all linked. And so I want to start with the, your interest in social purpose. One of the projects that you started a few years ago is a project called Amplify East, which is about changing the voice of Atlantic Canada, one voice at a time, because as its tagline says, remarkable women are not a supply problem. And, you know, the first line of your bio in LinkedIn says, I help social purpose organizations gain strategic clarity to deliver on their missions. So can you talk about whether it's Amplify East or social purpose, what is social purpose and why are you interested in it?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. I guess I'm interested in it. I think I've always been interested in community and, I remember when I was a kid, I read a lot, and I think like what I liked about reading obviously was learning, but also just hearing stories and understanding that people can have so many different lived experiences. And when I went to university, I chose to study science, and I particularly focused on biology and how I think it relates to social change and social purpose. Is, you know, at the end of the day, biology is about the study of natural systems, both through observation and and nowadays through innovation. Mm-hmm. And you know, while I liked science, I didn't like being in a lab. And I realized that I liked being around people and working with people. And a few people that I worked with at the time told me, you know, you're a good teacher. So I ended up going and doing my teaching degree, and through that met someone that was starting a social purpose organization at the time focused on energy and its impact on the environment. And so I decided to dive into that. And you know, like really it was applied learning, because I helped him build that organization from the ground up and really had to think about, you know, how are we going to evaluate the impact that we're doing? How are we going to prove that what we're doing is worth doing, both for our funders and for ourselves? And, you know, since then I've done mostly consulting work since about 2015. And I think, you know, what has kept me in the community or social purpose sector is I just continue to be intrigued by all of the projects that are out there where people are working to change systems for the better. And, you know, and I understand that better can be defined in many different ways. But, you know, and I guess just a recent example that I was thinking that might be relevant. On the weekend, I watched Made on Netflix. I don't know mm-hmm. if you have.
I've heard of it. I haven't watched it.
Oh, it was so powerful. But it was about this woman who was leaving situation of domestic violence, and at the end of the day, trying to navigate all these government assistance programs that had her at times in loops. And, you know, she's like, well, how do I get this without that? And, you know, at the end of the day, like through a lot of persistence, she was able to do that. But it's interesting that sometimes we, you know, we can't even really see the systems that we're in. So I guess how that all relates to Amplify East is really, you know, at the time, it was right around the time that Me Too was, you know, a prominent conversation. Right. And, you know, I was asking myself, well, what do I do? Am I okay with calling myself a feminist in public? What does a feminist mean? And should I, you know, I asked myself, like, should I do something? And so I decided to just throw out the idea to tell women's stories in their own voices and see what came of it. And I was lucky to have a lot of friends that I met actually through 21 Inc., which is, as you mentioned, where I met you as well, really come and be supportive to the idea. And someone I met through 21 Inc. continues to curate all the stories today. So I've been really lucky, and the platform's been lucky to host the stories of a lot of remarkable women like yourself.
Mm, yes. And I've gotten work through it, you know, so people are looking at that pile of women, and it's amazing what you do when you bring all these voices together and you can highlight what people do in this community. You realize there are a ton of people doing a lot of interesting things.
Yeah.
So I find that really interesting that you take on these projects with a higher purpose. And how would you define social purpose? What's your definition of it?
It's such a good question. Yeah, there's so many definitions. For me, it's really about building community, I think. Like, how do we reduce the barriers among ourselves? And you know, I know you mentioned that I had updated just my Facebook description, or I don't even know what you call it, just to say that I was on a spiritual journey. And for me, that's really what that has ended up being too. It's like, how do we reduce the barriers to realizing that we're all connected, that we're all one? So I suppose in some ways, social purpose for me is, you know, how do we reduce those barriers to connection? Because I think at the end of the day, that's potentially what we're all seeking.
Yeah. It's interesting that you said, you know, was I don't know if you said brave enough or willing to admit out loud that I'm a feminist publicly.
which
Sister Joan Chittister, I love her definition. She says, feminist is just being a friend to women, which to me is just such a simple way to boil it down. But it makes me think, as we're going to be talking about your spiritual journey, to actually make that claim in public. I'm like, that's pretty brave. Just put that on your Facebook. I'm on a spiritual journey. Did you think twice about that when you put that on there?
That's so interesting that you say that. You know what? Because like, I did have a ton of fear about calling myself a feminist, and I didn't have any fear about saying that I was on a spiritual journey. And I've joked with a lot of my friends as I've talked through this. I was like, you know, okay, like I'm about to say some things where you might judge me, and I'm okay if you judge me. That's okay. And you know what? Like, I think if anything, being on this spiritual journey that I've really taken a deep dive on in 2021 has actually reduced a lot of the fear that I felt on a day-to-day basis.
Oh, really? How so?
I think it's because I've been going inwards more. And I think I have, as a result of that, I've just been experiencing more love, and love in the sense of like just love for people, experiences, but just like just love more broadly, and just realizing that there, you know, that connection is there if we choose to seek it. And I suppose it's really changed the way that I've looked at a lot of things.
Mm. And I know that what interested me in really having this conversation is that you call this a new one. As you just said, you started it in 2021. Like, you're like, I'm at the beginning of this journey. But I'm curious, what was your connection to spirituality before this? Like, did you grow up in the church? Was there faith? Was the spirituality mentioned? Like, what did you know about it before you thought you needed to go on a spiritual journey?
Yeah. Well, good question. And I'd love to hear a bit of yours too. But I did not grow up with religion. But my dad's family had practiced religion, and my mom's family too, but less so. my parents chose not to bring us up in religion. So I guess I grew up in a pretty secular environment. And that's not to say that we didn't have values that were taught or community, which I think are two things that religion brings to us. But, you know, we did have that, but we didn't do it, I suppose, in a formalized way. And so a couple of years ago, I often, I suppose, like read or learn in themes on my own, like a self-directed study, I guess. And a couple of years ago, I had taken a deep dive into longevity, because I felt at the time, I was like, you know, all this literature, I guess, on health and nutrition and weight and exercise, it just is seems so conflicting, and it felt very, very confusing. And so, like, you know, after a certain age, you start, I suppose, to think about this more. And yeah, as I started reading on it, I read one book called Blue Zones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so I think this study was funded by National Geographic. And so he found, I think it's 5 communities throughout the world where more people live to be over 100 than statistically expected. And so he went and studied these communities, and there's one in Italy, one in Greece, one in Japan, one in the US, and one in, I believe, Costa Rica, if I remember
correctly. Yes, it is. Yeah.
And so the thing that was, you know, obviously very diverse cultures, but one of the things that surprised me, because I think a lot of it was common sense, you know, people had purpose, they had community, they kind of ate very boring food every day. Like, it was nothing groundbreaking. I mean, it was groundbreaking in the sense that it was like really eye-opening, but a lot of it was common sense. And the thing for me that really struck me was that in every community, these people had a spiritual practice, and obviously those spiritual practices differed among the different places, but it was very present. And it was the moment where I realized that I didn't have a spiritual practice. And so I think I started thinking about it, and it took me some time to really, I suppose, dedicate myself to it.
Mm. To learning about it or to a practice?
I think more of the practice, yeah.
Did you develop a spiritual practice?
Yeah, I've been developing it this year, I think.
What does it look like?
Well, I think a lot of it is mindfulness and presence and breathing. And so some of the practices that I do are Reiki, I go to yoga, just trying to slow down and like in specific moments, really trying to be more present, more aware, and like not being attached to outcomes. So, you know, while I might be excited for XYZ thing to happen, you know, if it doesn't happen, I'm more now at the point where I'm able to say, okay, well, what am I supposed to learn from this? And I've done a lot of, I do a lot of reading. So I've been reading a lot of books on the topic, and and I've been working with a spiritual guide once every 2 weeks.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And what does the spiritual guide help you do? Just get more in touch with that inner knowing or with who you are?
Yeah, I think it's helpful to talk it through at times, because sometimes I find if I'm doing it alone, I just start like almost getting stuck on certain things in my head. And so recently I had been, I'm currently reading the Tibetan book of Living and Dying. Mm. So he was talking about karma. And I was like, okay, like I do believe in karma at some level, but I was really struggling with this notion of positive and negative karma, which I don't even think that's what he was saying in the book, but it's something that we hear so often in media and culture that, you know, you're like, well, what does this actually mean? And so she helped me kind of really unpack my fear around karma and start to figure out, like, for me, okay, like, what does this mean? And I feel like I have a much better sense of it since I've been able to talk it through with her. Like, I feel like I'd be still probably caught in my fear had I not had the chance to talk it through.
All right. Yeah. You're making an important point, because that's one of the things that happens when you go on the spiritual journey. You actually begin to challenge everything that you believed or you learned, and you examine things. And it's great to have someone to talk that through with or help you unpack it in some way, because sometimes the people around you may not be on that same journey. And so it's really difficult to have those kinds of conversations. So it's like you have to find your people for this journey.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
Yeah, yeah. So so this book, The Blue Zones by Dan Buettner, is the one that kind of, you were reading that. And so it's this whole idea about longevity and the spiritual practices that he mentioned in these different zones that were practiced were the thing that sort of turned you on to spirituality or taking a journey.
Yeah, because
it was a catalyst.
It was the catalyst because, and I think before I read that, I watched a TED Talk, and I just remembered it as you were saying that. And so I don't remember the guy's name, but he's a researcher at Harvard who they've done this, like, oh gosh, it's a multiple decade study on, I think it had been primarily men, but now they've added in women. and you know, they found, like, what are the factors that lead to a purposeful or long life? And, you know, it's really about community and feeling connected and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And so, like, the blue zones, like, you know, I feel like that was, for me, the takeaway. And I think I started to realize that this, you know, so much of health actually starts in the mind. Which hadn't been the way I had thought about it prior to that. Cause I think I had started the journey on, like, seeking, like, what practices do I need to be healthy? And then that actually led to spirituality.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting that it starts out as one thing? I always say there's different points of entry to spirituality. You know, I've interviewed someone like Kate Flanders, who wrote a book, A Year of Less, who was all about her financial journey. Right. And I had told her after I read the book, I said, you know, I felt like you could have titled this Finding Kate Flanders.
Really?
Because, yeah. Because I felt like she was writing about this financial, clean up her finances, but she really found herself, you know, and I did the same thing. You know, I actually started at my 20s going, what should I do with my life? If I was looking for a job per se, what was the job I should be doing? Right. And then eventually that just kind of morphed into really who am I? And then this morphs again almost into this idea of spirituality. And I feel like I hear that from different people. There are different ways that we get introduced. And interesting to hear that you're looking at what should I do basically to live a long and healthy life? And you think, okay, is it more treadmill? Is it eating better?
Yeah.
And that it actually comes back to this idea of community. And it's interesting because that you're saying community and, you know, coming togetherness, because I think I realize I define spirituality as connectedness and connectedness to myself, mm-hmm. you know myself deeper, and connection is one of my values, but then also, you know, connecting to a higher purpose, connecting to my intuition, you know, ultimately God, universe. So it's just this long pipeline of connection, I think. And so I think it's so important because, and right now, the times that we're living in, people can be very isolating and very isolated. And I think it's so important to have that sense of community and people that, you know, you can come back together. You know, soon we'll be able to come back together, hopefully, face to face on a little more regular basis. But I think it's really important to have that sense of community that you're, because you're not alone.
Yeah, we're not alone.
Yeah.
And one thing that you said there really intrigued me. And I know you can't see me, but I was nodding as you were saying all that, because I loved it. And I think one thing that you said really resonated with me, which was like feeling connected to your intuition. And for me, I felt like I had been very disconnected from that. And so actually, I'd be curious from your end, like how do you know when you're discerning your intuition?
Yeah. Well, it's so interesting that I've always thought about intuition and used the word intuition, you know, as this gut feeling. But a few years ago when I was writing my first book, I was introduced to the morning pages as an exercise through the book called The Artist's Way. I'm not sure if you heard of it, by Julia Cameron.
I've heard of it, but not read it.
Yeah, it's really good. It's like a coaching book, actually. And but that's one of the things that she tries to help connect people, reconnect them to their creativity. She used to be married to Martin Scorsese, so she's done a lot of this helping people get back to their creative juices. And so I started practicing the morning pages. And it's just three pages that you write every single morning. And you fill it up, really stream of consciousness, garbage shows up, and then the magic starts to spill out. Mm-hmm. Not every morning, but and a magic, I'm not saying you're getting 10 pages of magic, you might get a couple of nuggets, but you have to go through this process. And one of the things I realized by doing that is that I was building my intuition. I began to trust that what was showing up on the page that was meant for me. And then I just began thinking about it like, really, I'm kind of writing to God. And I realized when I write to God, God writes back.
Yeah.
And it's that, you know, praying is when you're talking to God, intuition is when he's talking to you. This idea, the universe or whatever, that higher power, the inner knowing. And for me, that's really where I began to realize there's something deeper that I can be listening to. And I used to look out to the world and ask everybody else, what do they think that I should do? And now I just don't pay attention to that at all, because I am the source that knows all for me. I mean, I can ask people how their journeys went, be mentored, you know, help accelerate it. But my knowing is something that I had to build with myself. And I didn't know that space existed. So I think that was the exciting part of coming onto this path of spirituality.
I love that. And I read a couple of years ago, Big Magic by...
Yes, I love that.
Yeah. And she really talks similar to what you're saying, which is, you know, and I at the time, it's like, it made sense to me, even though there's no like rational way to explain it, that she talks about like these stories showing up and like, then you get to decide, you're like, do I want to be the vessel through which this story gets told? And that's up to you. And she has these like remarkable stories of things like that. And I love what you said about, you know, praying as you talking to God or the source or however you identify it, and you know, intuition would be a way for the source or God to talk to us. And I've had these moments, like I bought a cottage outside of Cap-Pilet, and the moment I pulled in, I was like, I'm going to buy this. This is the one. And I hadn't been inside or anything like that, but you know, and it worked out. And whenever I go, I just feel totally at peace there. So it's, you know, I've had these moments of experiencing that. So I know that it's real. And then the journey is just, you know, how do you continue to try to tap into that more?
Yes. And have you come up with any answers? Have you felt about, how do I touch that space more often or pay attention to it more often?
I think the more that I've been doing these spiritual practices, including just slowing down and being present and resting when I need rest and trying to be mindful and focusing on, you know, what I want to create, I think that it's been starting to connect more for sure. What about you?
Yeah. Well, as soon as you said slowing down, I think that's the key. You know, it's this idea of just kind of running through life and trying to get to the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. And it becomes very noisy and chaotic. And it's actually only when I slow down, when I've learned, you know, learned meditation, learned just embrace the idea that there's power and information for you in the stillness. And then you begin to see it and experience it, you know, see it, hear it, feel it, really. But it's the slowing down. And I like this idea of getting from your day rather getting through it. Like there used to be a time you're just trying to get through it. You're like, what do I got to do Friday? What do I got to do Saturday? Versus just embrace the moments. And time slows down in a way. You know, I don't know if you've had that experience, but yeah, you're right. Slowing down, I think, is a really great way to pay attention and build that connection. And, you know, so that's one of the things I realized doing this morning pages, you know, it would take me, you know, on a good day, it's 25 minutes to get through those 23 pages.
Okay.
But it's just giving yourself the space. And I like writing for me, like this idea of being the medium or vessel, things coming through you in that way. And I used to get up in the morning, like early, because I was so excited to see what would show up on the page.
I love that.
Is there a message for me, you know, that I should be paying attention to? And you can even just ask the question and just start writing it down and see what happens, you know, to show up. So, and then I just began paying attention, right? And it became exciting when things show up and you're like, well, that's weird. Yeah. And what you were saying too about Big Magic with Elizabeth Gilbert, I do find that an interesting concept, what she was talking about, because I think she was speaking about, I don't know if she put it in that book, I think it was with Ann Patchett, who's an author, and she ended up writing the very idea that Elizabeth had, but Elizabeth didn't do anything with it. And I loved how Elizabeth framed it up and said when she saw her at a conference or something, she actually kissed her, and she felt like in that moment when she kissed her on the cheek that the idea was transferred. I'm like, woo, woo. Like, right. I love the description.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so crazy to think about that. And
well, there's a lot of mystery in life, you know, that we don't know about.
A lot of mystery. Yeah. And like I said, I started my adult journey, I suppose, as in science. And, you know, just because science can't yet explain things doesn't mean that there's nothing there, right? And I've always been intrigued. I remember even as a kid being intrigued by the notion of, like, you can tell if someone's looking at you. Well, like what science exists to explain that? Like, you know, it doesn't really
make sense.
You're
in a store and you feel someone staring at you. It's true. What's telling you to look over and you meet their eyes or they look away because they were staring at you?
Yeah. So it's true. Just, there's like all this, to go back to the point of connection, there's, you know, all of this connection that's out there that we can't yet explain. And I mean, I've had these experiences like that. Like even, so my aunt passed away. She was in Italy, in January. And, the day that she passed away, I just had this like urge to text her on WhatsApp. Like I just had this intuition, I guess. And then my uncle texted the next day to say that she had passed away. And so for me, like, that was just really a sense of, you know, that there's this connection that we can't explain, and she lives, you know, like across the ocean, but it's still there.
It's still there. Yeah. It's this idea. There's connection at so many levels, you know, at this physical level and then some other sub levels or above levels. And this idea, even what we're going through right now, you know, there's so much divisiveness. It's like, we're all connected and that, you know, how we treat each other, how we, you know, say things to each other, there's like a ripple effect going out, and be mindful of how we show up in this world, that we're all in this together. And reminded of that connectedness.
Yeah, I love that. I love that whole notion of like maybe being that we're being reminded of that, you know, at a larger level. And some of the people that I've spent time with this year that practice spirituality, a lot of them say that, you know, this is a time in history where we're being invited to see that again. And then the question is, you know, do we each choose as individuals to start to walk that path or not? And I liked your point about the divisiveness too, because I still am on social media, but the thing that I've been finding difficult about it lately is like all of the anger on both sides, on two different sides. And, you know, I don't really resonate with the anger on either side, because I find it hard to, I guess, watch that now, because I'm trying to notice for myself when I'm feeling that judgment or this and that, and then using that as a chance to go inwards rather than outwards.
Right. It's so true. Yeah, there is so much divisiveness. And I feel like, you know, this is the test of spirituality. You know, if you say you're a spiritual person or that you care about other people, you know, spirituality is exactly the word practice. It's not something that's in theory you're going to behave well, you know, that you are going to, you know, that if you can see the connectedness in the other, you know, how you're connected to the other people, that you actually have to practice and lean into that space.
Yeah.
That you can't just say one thing and do another. It's about alignment and bringing, you know, that is a true practice, is being able to have your practice in the difficult times. And I would say you need the practice before the difficult times show up, so that it'll help move you through those, mm-hmm. Whether it's a gratitude practice or whatever it is. It's very difficult to start a practice in the middle of something very difficult, although it could certainly spawn or be a catalyst for a spiritual practice.
Yeah, definitely. Because I think even the pandemic for me was this, I think it was like partially anyway, the catalyst to start to explore spirituality. And it's also changed my relationship with time. So I know you had mentioned that, you know, when you're doing these things, like time slows down. And I've really been trying to change my relationship with time, because for me, I always felt like there was never enough time.
Sure. Yeah, it's so true. And so how has it changed your relationship with time?
I think I just accept, I accept that time is there. And then on like a larger spiritual level, that, you know, maybe that there are other timelines, or this limitlessness, or this like thing that I don't feel like I fully understand, but that there's something much bigger.
Yeah.
So how do I pay attention to that? And then I think on just like a funny day-to-day level, I find myself late for a lot of things lately, because I'm just like, I used to be very like, had to be early for everything. And now I just am like, I don't know, I just feel much more flow with things. Like, I'm like, if I'm 1 minute late for that Zoom meeting, no one will ever notice.
It's so interesting that you mentioned the word flow, you know, that there is some sort of alignment or flow. Because I know I can get, it's not anxious, but you're like, it's almost like you become not productive when you're constantly thinking about the next thing you have to do, that I'm not present in this thing.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking about the other two meetings and the thing I got to get out by a certain time. And when you let go of that or detach from it, and that's a bit of a practice. That's when I'm the most relaxed. And I've had times when I'm like, I got a ton of stuff done and nothing changed. The time was still there. The stuff was still there, but what changed? And it was my relationship to it and detaching from it in some way.
That's so interesting you say that. Cause I think it is the relationship to it. So then time is there for us to understand ourselves and what we're moving through. But yeah, I had the same experience, I think it was yesterday, where I was feeling a bit restless in the morning, and then in the afternoon I was able to kind of change that relationship to time, and I got a lot done as well.
Yeah, it's a funny thing. I love the journey, because I have learned so much on it, learned so much about myself, have had so much more inner peace, which is really the main reason I think I was started on. It's just to quiet the low grade suffering from just, you know, life, you know, sometimes just nothing major, but sometimes just that, you know, the inner critic, all that. And I realized all the stuff I was learning about, you know, coaching people, and that these things merged together in a greater way. And I'm still trying to figure it out to some degree, but it just makes more sense when you're tapping into that spiritual journey that people are on. And I'm curious, like, what is opening up within you now that you've been on that journey? Like, what are you learning? obviously we've talked about a few things already, but what do you feel opens up within you being on this journey?
Well, I think, I suppose it's the two things I mentioned, which are maybe the one thing, which would be connection and just experiencing love more. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, like I've been telling all my friends I love them, which hadn't been, you know, a practice. And I think at times they'd be like, what?
She didn't tell us that before.
Yeah, like it would, you know, I had some friends that I did, but, you know, some friends that I didn't. And
how has it shifted or impacted your relationship with the friends that you didn't, that you now say it? Do you find the relationship has softened in some way, or?
Yeah, I think so. It's just
opened up something.
Yeah, I think everything just feels more in flow, and I suppose it's like, for me, just this continued journey to feeling connected, to realizing that I'm not separate, we're not separate, you know, that we're all on our own journey, but that we're still connected.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I think for me, that's been the biggest shift. And you know, and to your point, like I still have a lot of practices that I do that are continuing to get there. And if I don't do them for, let's say, a week, I do notice that I start to get more into the restless state or feeling disconnected, or I notice myself judging myself or others more. So I do think that it's important to continue the practice of it. So, and even last week, I think it was, I play ultimate frisbee, so I was at frisbee, and I was just pivoting, like I wasn't even running, and I tore a muscle in my calf. I was like, "Oh my gosh, that really hurts!" So I went to physio, and I'm taking care of it, and I should be back next week or the week after, which is fine. But I went home, and I, you know, instead of just me being like, "Oh, that was just the thing that happened," I also asked myself, like, okay, you know, that was perhaps my body trying to give me a message or trying to like wake me up to something I had to pay attention to. And I think the thing that one of the other things I've been learning is, you know, how do I, which I suppose goes back to where I started with all of this, which is, you know, how do I be a good steward of my body, which is important. But not always like easy, I guess.
It's true. Yeah. I'm curious if you think about life purpose now that you're on this journey.
Yeah. And, you know, and I used to think about purpose more in the sense of legacy. Mm-hmm. And I still think about that in the sense of legacy. And I like traditional knowledge around that as to, you know, like, how do you want to think about your life as it impacts seven generations out? So I really like that view, and I still think about that regularly. And I would say what the spiritual journey has me focused on right now is also like, what are the things that my specific consciousness, let's call it, are supposed to be learning in this lifetime.
Mm. Yeah, that's interesting. It's interesting that you link it to legacy and that impact out. Yeah, that's really interesting. And I'm trying to think, like, how does your life purpose tie into your work now with things that you do, like these projects like Amplify East? I mean, they're certainly very purposeful.
Well, I think that I would like to continue. I mean, if I was to think about what legacy do I want to leave, or what small ripple effect could I contribute to that would help in help seven generations out, it would be that connectedness and that sense of community.
Mm. Yeah.
And so I think, like, you know, Amplify And really, like the most of the work that I've done over the last long while has all been at some level dedicated to that.
Yeah, I see that. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, because I think your purpose kind of, if whether you can articulate it or not, it shows up in some way.
Yeah.
Right? You know, you're doing things for a reason. There's a reason why you're called to do something. And I think it's trying to rise up or bubble up in some way anyhow. We just mightn't recognize it as purpose. We might think of it as a goal or maybe put on a resume, but there's a reason why it's showing up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm curious about what has been the single greatest thing that you've done that's impacted your journey? Like, how are you mostly learning about spirituality? Is it through reading books or?
I would say the books complement the journey, but the work I've been doing with my, I'll call her my spiritual guide, I think has been the most impactful for me. For me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I complement it through, you know, reading and doing different practices that have all ended up working together. But that's kind of been an anchor for right now.
Sure. Are there any books that you've read, you know, other than obviously the Blue Zones impacted you, kind of launch you onto this path that you really liked or that you can share? I know I'm putting you on the spot, but anything that you can think of that you really liked reading?
Well, right now I'm reading, like I said, the Tibetan Book of Living and Dying, which I think is awesome.
And who's the author of that?
Well, I'm not 100% sure how to pronounce his
name,
but it's Sogyal Rinpoche. It's Sogyal, first name, and then Rinpoche.
Is it easy to read? Like,
yes.
Is it a heavy book?
It's easy to read. It's heavy in the sense that there's like, I find I read a chapter and then I put it down to digest it.
Sure.
But it's an easy read. Yeah. It's not like a academic paper or anything.
Okay.
You know, sometimes those books are.
A lot.
Yeah.
A lot to stay with it.
It's accessible, which is great. And I really liked, and this is an older one, but I loved The Celestine Prophecy.
I have yet to read that. That's on my list. I remember when it was on the New York Times bestseller list years ago. And, I'm rehearing this. I think is it on Netflix or Prime Video?
It's on Prime Video, but the movie I felt like I watched it after I read the book and I felt like it just skimmed the surface of the book.
Yeah. Okay. As always. Yeah. So I'm going to stick to the book.
At least start with the book if you like to read, which I think you do.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, that's a good one. See, it keeps coming back. The fact that you even said that to me, it's like, Dana, pick up that book.
That was an easy read. Like that was very accessible. And again, like it's, you know, at the end of the day, it's really about, I think, like experiencing connection. And one of the insights they talk about how we have to get past our control dramas with other people. So how do we take energy from, you know, the source or God or whatever it is, rather than from each other, which I think is like in and of itself is such a valuable thing to consider.
Mm, yeah, so true. I'm curious, what do you hope, where do you hope this journey will take you?
Well, I've been debating. It's like, is my goal spiritual enlightenment, you know, whatever that means. And as I've asked people about that, people I would say that are further along in their spiritual journeys, it's interesting because I feel like the answer that kind of comes back is almost that spiritual enlightenment is just like the most basic thing. It's just about like reconnecting with self and everything else. And it's just like it seems so basic and simple, and then so really maybe the goal is simplifying and connection. And so I, you know, if I think about where I hope this goes, it would just be that I continue to feel love and connection and you know, and that I would say things have felt a lot easier over time, and that, mm-hmm. that would continue to happen for me.
Yeah. Yeah, it's to lighten the load. I don't know if you know Eckhart Tolle.
Yeah, I know Eckhart Tolle. Yeah.
Yeah. So his book, A New Earth, was the game changer for me. So I was at that point of trying to figure out, how do I even raise my kids? Like, I grew up in the Catholic Church, and you know, they didn't like going to catechism, and yet I was doing the Catholic mom thing, dragging them, and you know, so there was something about that book I knew was going to be profound. I was so excited to start it, and Oprah was doing her sessions at the time, like once a week, breaking down each chapter, and you needed that, because that is a book that there's just a lot in it.
Mm-hmm.
But such a game-changing book. And when I think about, you know, the goal of enlightenment, you know, I'm thinking that Eckhart Tolle would say, well, it's, you know, basically the present moment. You know, he kept repeating that about 1,000 different ways. I'm like, how many ways can he say this that I'm finally going to get it? That, because there's so much power in the present moment, right? There's peace and things you're saying, you know, this connectedness and love. And this, the more you can stay there, I think there is that more spiritual enlightenment, that you awaken to something greater than your physical body, your physical world, right? And I always remind myself about the present moment, because that's where the peace is found. It's the portal to happiness, really. Mm-hmm. And to constantly return there returns me to my highest self, or to the, you know, that inner knowing, or whatever we want to call it. So that was a real turning point for me, and a constant reminder of where I find that peace. So I'm not sure if you found the present moment yet. I'm sure you have, but if you're being more mindful.
Briefly. Yeah. At times, I'm not going to lie.
It's a great place to hang out.
It's a great place. But yeah, exactly. It's hard to find, right?
Yeah, it's hard to, yeah. And to remember it, right? So I'd say, I think I remember that more.
Right.
That's where I need to go. Or that's what gratitude does when I'm in the moment. That's what all these practices do. It kind of returns me to that space. It's almost like a direct line to my higher self, or intuition, but when I'm just in the moment per se, versus worrying about what just happened or what's coming up. Because I identify with that restlessness that you talk about, that, you know, you have something that you got to do and it's on your mind. And I like living that more settled in myself life.
More settled, restful.
Is there anything that you want to say about spirituality or journey that I haven't asked you about, or you think that's kind of significant or interesting?
No, but I do want to say that thanks for the Eckhart Tolle mention. I'm going to check out that book. I read The Power of Now, actually, as part of this journey.
Right.
And I think just to build on what you were saying, the interesting thing about Eckhart Tolle is, you know, when you watch him on video, it's like, it's almost like he takes his time, right? And he feels like he has no care in the world.
He looks like he's going to blow off the stage.
And then it's just like, you're like, that guy is living in a different reality than I am. And
he is. I admire that. But I am a very excitable person. I'm not sure if I'm going to get there, Eckhart, you know, to that degree. But it's like he's a leaf on a stage. When Oprah was interviewing him, it's like he's going to blow off the stage. He's so light. But it's kind of interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think, like, yeah, for me, I don't know that there's anything else I would say aside from that. For me, it's just been, and I think I mentioned this the first time we chatted a couple of weeks ago, but it's just that for me, spirituality has been the most significant journey that I've been on. And, you know, my road to it has been circuitous for sure, but I'm glad that I'm on the journey now.
And why do you think it's been the most significant?
I don't know. I feel like it's just the way for me to,
I think it's an interesting statement, because you've done many interesting things, but for this one to be the most profound or significant in your life,
I think it's just like, yeah, a way to connect with myself, which I think is kind of how perhaps you were talking about it as well. So it's just, you know, how do you really live from the inside out, right? And I think that that's kind of where everything starts. And so it's helped me feel first connected to myself, which then helps me feel connected to everything and everyone else.
Oh, it's so true. That's a great statement to end on. Thank you so much for your time and sharing your very personal journey. I love conversations like this. So I love the insight and I wish you well on your journey. I'm sure our paths will cross again.
Yes. Thank you so much. I really enjoyed the conversation too. And I've written down a couple of books that I'm going to check out.
Yeah, me too. Thanks, Vanessa.
Thank you.
That was such a great conversation. If you loved it too, subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss an episode. Please go to iTunes to rate and review this podcast. And if you want to continue the conversation, connect with Soul Sister Conversations on the Facebook and Instagram pages. You can also find me on Instagram and Facebook at Dana Lloyd Leadership, on Twitter at Coach Dana_Lloyd, and of course on LinkedIn. See you next week.